Sometimes you gotta go back to actually move forward. I don't mean all the way back to dental school. Let's face it, that was an awful experience. But when it's all said and done, you still have questions. That's what Paul and Justin are here for. To answer your questions as your dental business mentors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Dental Business Mentors, and we are here, Paul Etchison, with my partner, Dr. Justin Baller, and Baller, I was combining Bueller and Buller, Buller and Baller, and hi Justin.
Hi Paul, how are you, man?
Yeah, great intro there, right? Okay, we're just gonna go with it. We are too busy to re-record anything. We're just going. We're going for it.
That's right. We got shit to do, man.
Yeah, we're here answering your questions, and I like this one. I'm excited for this one. What do we got, Justin?
Yeah, so everyone understands that like office managers are typically present, right? I mean, that's the traditional term for somebody who's like a leader in the practice, the office manager. And question is referring to practice or office leads, right? So when do you add leads? Do you have leads in your practice and that sort of thing? So all things leads.
So I would say, when do we add leads? And this is a question I get from my coaching clients sometimes, because everyone's very excited about leads, because what leads means to the doctor is that I don't have to do anything anymore. That's what everyone typically thinks what it means. I think that the time to add a lead is when there are more than two people in a department is probably the earliest time you can do it. Because if you only do it with two people, you have two assistants and you make one a lead, the other one's not the lead. So I would say at least wait until you have like three assistants, three hygienists, maybe three people working in the front. The one's not the office manager. But I mean, I didn't find that I needed leads until I was probably about a team, about 15. But that's when we did it. And what do my leads do? So I have a hygiene lead, I have an assistant lead, I have a front desk lead, and then I have my office manager. And we meet weekly for about an hour and a half. We do somewhat similar to a level 10 meeting, you know, EOS. And we just have a problem list. We go through a few numbers very quickly, a few wins, a few things that came up. And then we go, what are some new problems? And we just add them to a list. We don't dissect them. And then we spend maybe 5 minutes doing that. And then we go look at the list of problems. It's a running list that we keep on going to back to. And we prioritize the top three issues that we think are the most important right now. And then we figure out a plan to solve them. And using the leads is they're the people doing everything for the most part. And if there's anything that's interdepartmental, like where, you know, the hygienist really, we just had a thing happen in our practice that when people were gone for a while, we wanted them to sign a new treatment plan with the updated fees. Front desk would put this on the clipboard that the assistants were to have them sign these. And the assistants didn't like that because they didn't understand what changed or why or how to answer the questions. And so this was not a very big issue for the front desk to say, okay, you know what, we'll just take it back. That was decided during the lead meeting. And then each person in their department would go disseminate that information to their respective cohorts there. So I think leads are great. But one thing that I think is important when you utilize leads, you've got to relinquish the control. You've got to back off and just be comfortable to let them figure things out, let them fail if they need to. And you also need to give them time to work on lead stuff. Your hygiene lead cannot do lead stuff in between patients. Your hygiene lead needs time. So like my hygiene lead gets about 4 hours a week. Now my practice is pretty big, so maybe yours doesn't need 4 hours a week. My assistant gets a full day to do this. So it's like you need to have time to do these things. But if you want them to take stuff off your plate, they have to have time to do it. So that's what I'm saying. How about you, Justin? When does the practice need leads? What does it look like in your practice?
I feel like you would almost know when it's time for adding someone into that position, because when you have small teams, everyone's talking, right? At least you hope. You're working in such close contact with each other, and there's not so many of them that they're like, oh, I didn't even know you were here today, right? And so, you know, I hadn't seen you all day sort of thing. And so I think naturally the need for leads is on teams. And I like what you said, you know, at least two or more individuals, or by the time you have your third, you may need somebody who's a lead in that position. You know, I like that. In my mind, it's more like, do you need somebody to take the reins in a particular area of the practice, right? So if you divided the practice into, let's say, three areas, one administrative, and then two separate clinical buckets, like the RDA doctor and then the hygiene, you may want to consider getting leads there if you've got a fairly decent sized team, because what the leads are going to do is they're going to be responsible for making sure things are standardized, and they're going to be your go-to or point of contact for your office manager. Look, I'm going to back up and say something here before I jump into this and confuse people with terminology, because you mentioned EOS, which is traction, right? And I don't run traction in my practices, but I'm really familiar with it. And you can run it in any which way you want. If it's traction, you call them leads. A lead may be an administrative lead is the equivalent of an office manager in a way, right? So I don't want the terminology to confuse anybody. So a lot of people who run traction don't have office managers if they're truly running it that way. They just have their administrative lead, their clinical lead, and maybe a hygiene lead. I'm seeing that quite often. In my practices, we have front-end lead and back-end lead. We used to call them the front-end lead an office manager. We no longer do that. So just don't get hung up on terminology. But the point being is that the lead's job is to perform that duty. So let's take a hygiene lead, okay? Perform their duties that they normally would, plus do other things that elevates the game of the entire hygiene department. So for example, they may coordinate education. In addition to coordinate education, they might be auditing hygiene charts. They might be looking at quality of x-rays. They might be like making sure when they audit charts that probing's happening or patients are like, they might be looking at hygiene metrics and talking to the hygienists about those. Like, these are the sorts of things we're talking about. When you think of a lead, you think of somebody who takes the department and elevates the entire department. That's the goal. And so if you are ready for a lead because, you know, you're seeing some chaos in a particular department and you could use a hand there, then that's the time to do it. And the best way to do it is to take your star player and ask them if they're interested in some more leadership. And keep in mind, that's going to come with a little bit more pay, right? Because anytime you add responsibility, the next thing that goes through someone's mind is, what's in it for me, buddy?
Yeah.
Yes. So I'll take it on. I'll lead whatever you want me to lead. But like, what's my paycheck going to look like? And I think you need to be prepared to have that discussion. So understand that. So that's the way I'd look at it. I would say it's important. You need people who are accountable for helping out. When dental practices start to get to like 12, 15, 20, 30 team members, you know, and they start growing like that, depending on how big your practice is, you need to really treat departments independent of one another. And leads are most effective when you start getting to that stage. If you're a small practice, like if you're listening to this and you're just like, well, I got like two hygienists, an RDA or two, and one or two front end team members. So what's that, like six people, right? You don't necessarily need any leads in place. You just need your office manager to run that all, teach them how to do that. And then empower your clinical team members to say, look, you're both very competent. You both know what you're doing. Here's the vision for the hygiene department. I'd like you guys to take some time in the week to connect, to talk about how things can improve and present those at like weekly meetings or bi-monthly or monthly, right? You can do it that way. So it'd be real easy. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah, I think a good point is that, like, I want to backtrack on what I said, is that I think when I realized I needed leads was when we were having team meetings with everybody and they started to feel slightly ineffective. And we started seeing communication breakdowns. Like, I didn't know we changed how we were doing that. Where weren't you at the meeting? Yeah, like, or no, or nobody told me. Or we started having a lot of things like that happening, communication breakdowns. So that's like, you know what? I can't go around and tell 15 of you that we changed how we're doing something. We need some kind of way of doing this. Now, like, we've got a few more minutes here, so I'll just talk about what is my assistant lead working on right now. She's training two new assistants. So that's her big thing right now. She did this big compliance project with OSHA and HIPAA and fire extinguishers and escape plans and all this BS stuff we've never been compliant for in the past 9 years, but now we are. But it was something that was important to me that we eventually got compliant. I wanted to do stuff by the book, so that was a project she took on. My hygienist is redoing our perio program with the other hygienists and making sure that the new hygienists also talk about treatment the same way as we all do. So calibrating the other hygienists. So she's spending time meeting with our other hygienists. So now I have a very different animal. I've got 11 hygienists now. We want the consistency. We always talk about that. So that's what they're kind of working on. Just to give you some examples of what leads work on. But I didn't need them until we were bigger.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, that just about summarizes it.
Yeah. You got anything else to add? Some sage wisdom?
Not in the time frame that we're trying to keep these down to 10 minutes for you guys, quick and, you know, effective and stuff, just to be respectful of your time. But
potent.
You know, I think, yeah, potent. Not impotent.
You haven't said potent since I called you out on it, like
I stopped 10 episodes ago. That. I'm a progress guy, man. So if I'm overusing and one of these like smart guys like yourselves comes to me and say, man, you were just overusing that damn word. I'm self-conscious.
I'm sorry I took that away from you. I feel like a little guilty now.
It's all good.
You can say it.
we keep these short and potent.
There you go. See, that felt good. You're smiling.
But, you know, that's what it comes down to, is just we could get into the granular nature of what leads do. But I think, you know, if you want to hear more about that, then hit us up and we'll definitely go through that for you guys.
Yeah. Final question. Leads, bad or good?
Good.
Okay. We'll end it on that. Info@dentalbusinessmentor.com. We'll talk to you next time.